Hello, welcome to Inspiring Women with ADHD. I am Renee Allen, the host of this podcast, and I'm excited to be here today. I hope that you don't think when I say I'm excited to be here, I'm just pretending to be excited. I am really excited to be here today. That's one thing about me that maybe you'll learn as you go, but I'm not very good at pretending. I'm not a good actress in any way, so that's the real deal. I am excited to be here. But I am going to talk to you today about traveling, the ups and downs of traveling with ADHD. I don't know for sure if that's going to be the title. I haven't even decided, but that's just what came out of my mouth. But I just got back from a trip. It wasn't a long trip. It was an extended weekend trip to Miami. Taylor Swift was just in Miami doing her Eras tour. And we went to her concert in Tampa a year and a half ago and tried to get tickets for Miami with the sale. You know, you have to do it kind of like a lottery. All of those of you who do this probably already know this, but anyway, you can't just go online and buy tickets. You have to register. And then if you're one of the few, I mean, I guess there's a lot, but one of the few that gets that VIP status, then you can buy tickets. And with Tampa, out of all of us in my family, maybe there are five of us who had Ticketmaster accounts that tried to get it, only one out of the five got it. And we were lucky to do it because we tried again with Miami and none of us got it. And so we thought, well, it's not that far away. I mean, it's kind of far, but 6 hours maybe, that one of my daughters and I decided to drive down and just see if ticket prices dropped. And they did the first night, but they did not the second and third nights. And the first night when we were there, we were in our hotel room. It was 6 miles from the stadium, which just felt like arm's reach. You know, like we are this close. We've got to make this happen. And after she sang a few songs, the prices started dropping. And we thought, okay, maybe, you know, we could get tickets, but they still weren't really within our price range. I mean, they started out, I think the lowest ones were $1,400 or $1,200 or something. And I just found out today that StubHub, I don't know about TickPick because that was the other website we were watching, ticket whatever app, but that they increased their fees to 40% of the ticket price on the day of the concert. That is crazy. Like if you were already paying $1,000, you were going to pay $1,400 plus tax. Anyway, I wasn't going to pay any of that. So we watched and watched. We were watching her live on TikTok too. But eventually the prices did drop maybe 15 minutes into it, quite a bit. And you could see everyone trying to sell them was going, okay, we'll drop, we'll drop. And I don't know if they're actually on their phones or computers doing that or if it's all automated by availability, how many people are buying it or what. But they dropped to a point where we thought, okay, we could buy tickets. But then we thought, well, maybe if we wait till tomorrow night, we can get closer to the stadium so that once we do have tickets, we wouldn't have the 20-minute drive or whatever it was going to take us. And that's 6 miles to get there and lose that time of seeing the concert. So anyway, it was a good idea. But the next two nights, we were actually there right by the stadium. The prices doubled when I almost sold out, you know, the tickets and everything. Yeah. So it's like, no, we're not paying $1,800 for tickets when you're behind the stage or even tickets in front of the stage. So we didn't go. We could hear her outside. We could see all the other people out there. And it was okay. You know, there are worse problems in the world for sure. And we're old enough that we weren't little girls that might, you know, be totally devastated or something. We have that knowledge that there are bigger problems in the world, but we are still bummed by it. We tried again the next night thinking maybe people are leaving for the weekend. Nope. So anyway, we took this trip to Miami. We drove down on Friday, drove back on Monday, and it was just a weekend trip. But I'm finding that trips play with my ADHD, or ADHD plays with my trips or my traveling. ADHD plays with my traveling. I don't know, you know, whatever I'm trying to say here. I'm just saying, I think there's a connection, and I think there are reasons why traveling can be a challenge when you have ADHD, whether it's the actual traveling or getting back home or both. and why it can be wonderful too. There's some perks. Not everything's bad about it. But I've noticed for quite a few years that I love taking trips. I love planning out trips. I'm saying that as a question because sometimes it's true and sometimes it's not. If I can get in the car and go, that's easier than having to plan flights and stuff like that. Because the decision-making part of the brain is not functioning properly for a lot of people with ADHD. So having to make decisions about, okay, when am I going to fly? What day does that work out for this person? And if you have that part of you that's extra empathetic and you want to make sure that the people driving you to the airport, it's not too hard for them, or the people picking you up, what time of day, all that kind of stuff. And then your patience level, you know, for how long a layover might be, or even if you want a layover, it's just so many factors to consider. And that can be hard. But the only thing I really noticed years ago, and maybe this isn't related to ADHD at all, is that no matter what trip I was going to take, no matter what traveling I was going to do, right before it, I would think, why did I decide to do this? Like, I should just stay home. Like, I wasn't afraid of anything, but I'd get what I called trip anxiety. I'd start to think, oh, I wish I was just staying home. Life would be simpler if I was just staying home. That's a lot. You know, I was overwhelmed. Maybe that is some overwhelm there. I was overwhelmed by the idea of leaving. And I have 6 kids, so there were some trips I went on by myself where, like, there really was a lot to plan out. If I was gone, I would make a Google Doc or to put on the front door that said when this child needed to be this place, or day by day what was going on with soccer practice or something, so that my husband could know. And yeah, that takes out some planning, and you start to think, maybe it'd be easier if I just stayed home. And it would. It probably would. But traveling is fun, and it has a lot of perks. And that's one thing that when we have ADHD, we have a lot of curiosity. We have a lot of ideas. We can think of all these things that would be great to do. And if you're social, if you have that social aspect of loving to talk to people, stay in touch with people, communicate with them, then you even see, oh, if I'm traveling here, maybe I can get in touch with this person and see them and, you know, have all those wonderful connections continue because you have new experiences together. And it can be great. It can be great, but it can also be a lot. And packing and preparing for it requires decisions too. If you pack with hyperfocus, I've done that for a few trips where I will literally start. And it's funny when you say literally, because it's not like you're not going to believe me if I don't say literally, but I will start packing for certain trips, these fitness trips that I used to go to in New Jersey, I would start packing about a month before, get out a suitcase, put all the workout outfits out on my bed and decide what I'm going to wear for each workout, because there would be 2 or 3 workouts a day. It's fun. It doesn't sound as fun now that I'm older, but it was really fun. And I would just, you know, get them all out. I'd buy extra big Ziploc bags and put them in and label them. So that was a hyper-focus organization thing. You know, how many Clif bars should I buy, or whatever kind of protein bars I wanted at the time. And I just plan it out, and I'd have so much fun with that. That was an organizing, relaxing, soothing way of looking forward to the trip. Whereas a lot of trips, I find myself packing last minute, trying to catch up on laundry, not knowing, you know, there's so many things to look into. You know, what's the weather going to be like? And then you pack, if you're very sensitive to discomfort, you know, I don't want to be too cold. I don't want to be too hot. I don't want my feet to get tired wearing these shoes. So I'm also going to bring these kind of shoes. And, you know, this it's just, you're considering so many things because your brain just keeps going and going and going and going. And it can be hard, not just to make the decisions, but to even reel it in. So the last 2 summers since we moved from California to Florida, I've taken a trip to California for over a week and visited friends, relatives. And a year ago when I went, I had my big suitcase, I had my carry-on, and then my under-the-seat bag is far bigger than what it looks like you should have. You know, like most people put a backpack under there. I have a big duffel bag that I can squish to be smaller to go in there, but I can put quite a bit in it. So I had all three bags. And came in to weigh. I came in to weigh the bags. And my big bag was far too heavy. It was over 50 pounds. So I opened it up and my husband was there. And, you know, it was getting close to the time that we needed to leave for the airport. And so his idea was, he said, so I guess you're going to have to take out some of these things from your suitcase. And I thought, no, you know, because he was kind of thinking, take out 1/4 of it, decide not to bring that, because he's a minimalist packer, and I'm not. And I thought, no, I'm just going to rearrange and open up my carry-on and decide what can switch places or what else I can wear on top of something else. And I think I only took out one sweatshirt or something, and I was squeezing the stuff. I was rolling things up, really trying to get everything to fit. And what actually happened on the trip was I hardly used anything that I packed. I probably used 1/3 of what I packed, but I really like to have options. And making decisions when you don't allow yourself those options is harder if you're not sure what it's going to be like, where you are, and all that. It can be harder, but it can make our lives harder too for packing. And then if you're on the trip with this super stuffed suitcase, which is just what happened with Miami, I only needed a few days worth of clothes and I could have had my small suitcase, my carry-on, but I just kept throwing things onto the suitcase as I was making decisions the night before, late the night before. And I thought, just get a bigger suitcase, you know, you can just drive and you'll be fine. I had so much stuff. Every time I opened my suitcase, it was like it exploded, and I probably only used 1/4 of it. But yeah, it can make traveling difficult if you aren't sure how to make those decisions. And it can be stressful just with the packing part. And I think that's why I delay the packing more, because I'm avoiding that stress. And maybe this is fun for you, but I've seen it both ways. I've seen where it's fun. It's my hyperfocus. It's my relaxing organization time. And I've seen other times where I just can't start. I just can't wrap my head around beginning that that process. But once you're on your trip, once you are traveling, are there challenges that could come up more because you have ADHD? Than for someone who doesn't have ADHD? And I know it differs for everyone. Everyone has their way of processing things in their brains. And for some, it just might be literally, I said literally again, it might be a vacation, you know, a vacation for your brain because you don't have the things at home as your visual to-do list. Every time you walk around your house, or if you're going to work for sure too, you have a to-do list of things that you need to get done. So when you're on vacation, you don't have the same responsibility that you have at home. Although I have seen, and maybe some of you who are older like I am, older than those who didn't experience this, not the oldest for sure, but back in the days before cell phones, we didn't take a lot of our to-dos with us. We didn't have people that we had to respond to. We couldn't get on our laptops at night to send an email or reply to a text or any of that. We just left. We left our phone at home. There was even a time that we didn't have answering machines, and we came back and we didn't know about anybody who tried to contact us while we were gone, and no one could contact us while we were gone. So that was really nice to go away, and you were just able to leave those responsibilities behind without all the notifications that we get that we can take with us. They're a perk for sure, but they also distract, I guess both, from a vacation. One of the challenges I find, and that can happen for anyone with ADHD, is having to learn a new system. When you have a system or a habit, your brain knows how to do it and you don't have to think about it. You don't have to concentrate as much to do it. So if you get in your car and you start your car, you know how your key works, you know how the windows are already set up, you know how to look at the GPS, how to hook up your phone. All those things are already done. If you go on a trip and you're renting a car, unless it's the same car, you have to figure that out. And it may take you a few times of driving that car before your brain recognizes what to do and doesn't have to think about each little step. Those little steps are what drive me a little bit crazy, or they just make it so I'm just feeling so scattered, or I'm not recognizing something that needs to be done. When we just went on this trip, we stayed in a hotel near South Miami Beach. I don't know if they call it South Beach or South Miami Beach. I'm not from there, so I don't know the lingo. You know how even you can tell that somebody who's not from an area, they call it something that's not what anybody else calls it. But anyway, we were in this hotel that was nice. It was really fancy. And thankfully, we had enough hotel points to stay there for free. So it was really great to be there. But they didn't want just anybody going up the elevator and using their swimming pool or going in. They had this pink library. It was so beautiful. It was so beautiful. I mean, who has a pink library in their hotel? This hotel did, the Good Time Hotel in Miami. But I had never seen this situation before, but you got on the elevator and you had to use your hotel card. You had to scan it before you could push your button and it would tell you what floor to get off on, whether it was where your room was or where they had a restaurant or the pool. I learned in Miami, a lot of the pools are up higher. So they might be on the roof of a hotel, or they might be halfway up and you see everybody out there partying in the early afternoon. It's crazy. And anyway, so every time we got on the elevator, my daughter would say, "Do you have your card?" And I thought, "Yeah, I have my card." Because in my mind, I thought I need it to get into the hotel room. And so the first couple times I thought, "Yeah, I have my card." And then she kind of looked at me like, "Well, are you going to use it?" And I thought, I don't know what you're talking about. And then somebody else would push the button or something, somebody else on the elevator. And I thought, that's what you usually do on elevators. So whoever's closest to the buttons pushes three, or they'd say, "What number are you? What floor are you on?" You know, we're on the seventh floor. So it was confusing to me. And I don't think it was till maybe the second or third time on the elevator that I didn't realize she was saying, "You need your card to scan because this is a system here." I didn't know that system. I didn't look at the buttons and see something below it and know that was needed. There might have been a sign that said it, but I didn't see it. So by the time she told me that, I still, every time we got on the elevator, it did not register in my mind that I needed a card. I'd say, "Oh yeah, I'll push the button for you." And I'd push seven. And she said, "But you need your card." And I think, "Oh yeah." It was a new system for me. It was a new instruction that my brain couldn't remember. It didn't have a pattern of when you get on an elevator, you pull out your hotel card and you use it. And actually, when we stayed on the way home, we stayed in Fort Lauderdale at a much, as my husband would say, crummier. He likes to say crummy. Not as nice of a hotel at all. It was old and kind of junky in a way, but it was fine, but it wasn't great. But they required the card too. So maybe that's a thing that they just don't want people going up their elevators. But, oh, they did have their kitchen for breakfast on the third floor. So maybe that's why they didn't want just anybody going up and eating breakfast in the morning. But anyway, yeah, that was hard for me every single time. And I told my daughter, I said, "I feel like I would need to stay here for about 5 days, 7 days to learn the system." Not just that, but to kind of understand, oh, this pool is open at this time and you can do this at that time. And you're going into a new world and you're learning a new system. And even knowing where to have your toothbrush, and when you walk in the bathroom, where's my toothbrush? There's all those possibilities for being scattered, and it's hard. It's challenging. It's really challenging. And then the fact that my suitcase was so overstuffed, I just never knew where anything was. It was hard. It's not super hard, you know, life's problems, but it was difficult. It was challenging. Another thing that can make traveling hard is not having as much downtime. When you're at home, unless you're traveling alone, but when you're at home, I would imagine, even with me having six kids, I had some downtime. I had nap time for the little ones, or when they're in school, I didn't homeschool. Well, you know, there's always an exception, and someone with ADHD could tell you that exception, but I'll save that for later. But I didn't homeschool for the most part, my kids. And I did have a lot of alone time, and I love my alone time. So being with somebody on a vacation, when you're with them all the time and kind of passing them, our hotel room in by the beach was very tiny. I mean, probably half the size of my dorm room when I was a freshman in college. It was little, but it was great. We had a view of the city, and at night it was gorgeous. That was consolation when we didn't get into the concert that last night in that hotel, because we got to go back and just see the city lights. So that was fabulous. But anyway, it's a lot of close quarters and trying to figure out what works for both of you and not having the time alone. So that could be a challenge, because you're not only having to try to figure out your own routine and what you do, but how to make it gel with somebody else and figuring that out. Yeah. And mostly for me, it's just the figuring out the whole suitcase, toothpaste, what time's breakfast. And in my own house, I don't have to think about what time is breakfast. There's just a lot of things to figure out when you travel. And even though it's wonderful, it can be a lot. Another thing that may affect people with ADHD is if you have time blindness, that could be a problem on a trip. And I don't even know if I would have recognized this in myself if my daughter hadn't have brought it up during this trip. But there would be times when she'd say something like, okay, we need to be out of the hotel at 3:00. And in my mind, I would think, okay, that's fine. We have a lot of time. I'm going to look some things up on my computer, like where we're going to stay on our way out of here, what hotel we'll get if I have enough points. And a little bit later, she'd say something like, Mom, are you going to get ready? And I'd think, yeah, because I thought I still had 45 minutes to put stuff back in my suitcase and get ready to check out, when it was really maybe 10 minutes till 3 or 5 minutes till 3. And I didn't realize that much time had gone by. Even our last morning in the hotel on our way up, on our way home, and when we were in Fort Lauderdale, I knew that breakfast went until 9:30, which I wish they'd do it later, even on weekdays, but it was at 9:30. My daughter usually sleeps longer than I do, so I was awake, I don't know, at 7 or something like that. So I tried to keep the room dark, and I laid there in bed a little bit and listened to some things on my phone. And then I thought, I'll just get up and take a shower and try not to be loud and try not to make it too bright so she could still sleep. I had just gotten in the shower. I had shampooed my hair, and she knocked on the door, and I thought, oh no, she woke up and she has to go to the bathroom. And so I'm trying to hear her with the shower on. I can't hear her very well. So I turned the shower off. I still have shampoo in my hair. And I said, you need the bathroom? And it was a very incomplete conversation, because I thought she needed the bathroom. She was telling me, we need to hurry because breakfast ends at 9:30. And I think it was about 9:10. And I had no idea. I thought I had all this time. And so basically the conversation made my shower take longer, but she didn't need to get in. I was putting my towel on. I was ready to walk out so she could come in. And she said, no, it's just breakfast only goes till 9:30. I was just wondering how far you were in your shower. If you could just get out, we could just go down there, you know, with minimal makeup or whatever. I had no idea. And I don't even know if I knew I had time blindness, but I knew that I come up with a lot of things to do when I think, oh, I have an hour. I'll come up with things to do, kind of aware time's going by. I don't know. That really felt like time blindness each time, because I thought, I had no idea it was this time. I had no idea it was this time. And that can be a problem on a vacation if you need to be somewhere at a certain amount of time, or in a certain amount of time, or at a certain time. I swear I trip over my words sometimes. And I don't know if you do this, but if you have that verbal, hyperverbal aspect of ADHD, my daughter and I were just talking about it, how our brains think faster than we can speak. The words come up in our minds. And so sometimes we insert words that aren't even a part of that sentence. And then sometimes we just make mistakes on our words. It's like you're tripping because you're trying to get somewhere so fast. So I apologize if that trips you up, but I'm just going to keep going here instead of editing because this is our real life. This is our real lives of having ADHD. But yeah, time blindness could interfere with a trip. And even being overwhelmed by crowds, if you have any sensitivity to your environment, whether it's people coming into closely, I don't mind crowds as much as I mind them making it take longer to get somewhere or them being too close to me. So if I'm at Disney World or Disneyland and I'm walking, I'm okay with people around me until they're squishing me or I can't see very far. So I like to have space in front of me. And so that's why I pass people a lot when I'm in Disney World, because I want to just have some open space in front of me. It's not that I need to get there any faster. I just don't want to have the feeling of being closed in. And vacations, especially if we're going somewhere that's important to a lot of people, there could be that overwhelm that comes with your environment or even noises and loud noises and things like that, which can happen at home too, for sure. But vacations tend to be hyped up depending on what we're doing. And if you have any of those sensory issues, you can find yourself running into these things, even with driving, for sure. If I have a bigger car in front of me, that's harder than having a smaller car because I can see around it. And then also getting lost if you're in an unfamiliar place, whether it's just driving and you're not sure which freeway to get on next, even if you have your GPS, it can be confusing. They are not always fast enough. And I also think that they don't work with our brains as well. If I have a knowledge of this, then that, and they usually tell you the immediate, like this is the exit, and then you're kind of waiting for it to load to tell you how many miles you'll be on this freeway. And I want them to have, maybe there is a driving a GPS app that I'm not using where it actually not only has the steps, because you can choose just to have the route. I know on Google Maps you can and just see the route. Sometimes that's nice, but sometimes you need the picture. And usually with the picture, they only have one step at a time. And sometimes what they say, be in this lane, that changes. And getting lost can be really hard, and keeping your brain on for that long. And the memory with it, the working memory has to take the information that you get and process it into something that makes sense for you to do. And so if you have the inability to process that or have the inability to process oral instructions, so let's say you do have your GPS, but you're not sure and you're in a lane and you're thinking, I need to go this way. And then your daughter, this happened a lot on the trip because I drove more than she did. But if she says, you shouldn't be in that lane, that doesn't help my brain. I need get in the right lane or get over. I need something so clear and that I don't have to process as much. You know, can you get in the right lane quick? Because that we need to get off there. That works better for me. But her brain was explaining what was happening. And I realized that at some point, this is why I'm not able to act on it as quickly, because it's taken me a while to figure out what she's saying. And I also can't hear very well in my right ear. So that's also a problem. But yeah, that's a lot of things that can get in the way of a trip. But at the same time, trips can be wonderful. I'm not trying to say we shouldn't go. Of course, I wouldn't be saying that. But just so you recognize, if you're having challenges on your trip, it's good to notice why. Or even just having to figure out, do I have my driver's license? Do I have my passport? Do I have, where is it? And that fumbling that fumbling can really add to that scattered brain. All of those things. Do I have my hotel card? Do I have the keys to this car? Do I know how to start it? All of those things are taxing to the brain and can add to stress. And so if you can give yourself just a little bit of grace and realize there's a reason this is hard for you and it's okay and slow down, but there's just more opportunities for that to happen on a trip, I think, than it happens in real life, at least in my life. And that's just the beginning, because then you get home from your trip and what do you need to do? You need to get back into whatever system, whatever routine, whatever schedule you have at home. And if you don't feel like putting everything away when you first get home, some people, that's the first thing they do. They put everything away from their suitcase. I try to at least put away the bags that have my toothpaste, my makeup, that sort of thing. So that's put away. And the next morning when I get ready, I can get ready in my usual amount of time. But doesn't always work out. So, but yeah, getting back into your routine at home can be hard because you have to reset your brain and think, okay, you have to get used to that. And I used to find that I needed at least a day just not to interact with the rest of the world. I didn't have a full-time job or anything. I was a stay-at-home mom. I still took them to school and that sort of thing. But as far as phone calls or just communicating and having responsibilities with other people outside of my house, I needed to mentally adjust to, I'm back at home now. I live here. So I could function better. And coming back can be difficult. It can be a challenge to come back and see everything that you didn't do while you were gone. All the things you need to catch up on in addition to what needs to happen once you're home. That was one reason I used to always do all the laundry before I'd leave on a trip. It does help with packing, especially when you have children and stuff. Now, it seems like I have more clothes, obviously, than I need for a trip. It seems like with my kids, if I could get all the laundry done, put away, or even just in their stacks to have to pack with, it made it easier because I came home to a clean house with all the laundry done, and then I could just do the laundry. I was so much more high functioning then. And that's another podcast episode, but I really do think the hormonal changes that we have in our lives as we get older play a part in the dysfunction. And that's a reason why so many of us are finding out that we have ADHD or recognizing the symptoms. They're playing a more disruptive part in our lives to where we haven't found a method to deal with it as easily. And maybe before there were frustrating things too, but we recognize that we used to be able to do this and now we can't. And why is that? There's a lot of reasons that women are getting diagnosed older. You know, whether that older to you is 30 or 28 or 58, you know, there's a lot of reasons. And that's another episode. There's conversations, as my friend Sherry and I always say at the end of our phone calls, and our longest one was 5 hours. I think our last one was 3.5. We miss each other. So when we get together and when we talk on the phone, it's long. And at the end of each phone call, we each have a list of all the things that we need to talk about next time because we realize all the things that we still have to talk about. And so that's how it is with the podcast. There's always a running list of what else we could cover here. And back to when you return home from a trip, if you don't feel like you hit the ground running, try not to beat yourself up about it, because you may even set yourself up with a clean house or laundry done and you get home and you're just thinking, oh, why am I not able to just jump back in and do what I was doing before I left? Why am I incapable of being as productive or staying on task or knowing what I want to do or getting into my schedule? And I think the overwhelm of all that you've been through It's a different kind of overwhelm of I can't get myself to do something. But our brain has just experienced a lot and it's coming back and it's got new stimuli. And you're looking at all that. And it's just my own opinion, but I'm very convinced that when our brain is maxed out in some way, our executive dysfunction increases, or it's just a little bit harder to reel in. And so if you come back from a trip and you have so much to do and you're sitting online trying to figure out what to get your friend for her birthday when her birthday is a month away, and you spend all this time reading reviews and looking at different products and things, your brain just needed a break. And maybe it needed to do that. Maybe it needed that hyper-focus to get a break from all that you are finding when you get back. And just knowing I'm not incapable here, I just need some time for my brain to get back used to being home, my body to get used to being home, and be okay with that if you're not able to just jump back into the swing of things and pick up where you were. It's not always possible, and that's okay. It's funny because just getting back from this trip, I was surprised that it was harder for me to jump back in and get going, do all the things that I needed to do. I think I was surprised because it was a shorter trip. And when that happened with my California trip this summer, I was kind of frozen with that overwhelm for about a week of what should I be doing? I know what I need to do, but I can't get myself to do that, but I have this to do. But with a shorter trip, I didn't think it would be an issue. And so I was telling myself this morning, make a mental note that the next time you go on any kind of trip, even for a weekend, even for an overnight, set yourself up for success in any way you can. Even with my podcasts, make multiple episodes to just start playing when you get back. Because when I went to California, I did that. I made multiple episodes, scheduled them while I was gone. But I thought when I got home, I'd just start recording again. And same with when I got back from Miami, I'd just start recording again. And I kept kind of walking around like, should I do it now? Should I do it later? What should I talk about? Should I do that? You know, I couldn't make those decisions. I couldn't function like I thought I could. So this morning I thought, make a mental note that next time you're going to set yourself up for success in every way you can, pre-write emails that you need to send out, or, you know, schedule send, all this stuff. And then I kind of laughed because I thought, I can't make a mental note and remember it. You know, that's like, you know, a colander, the strainer that you use when you make pasta or something. It's like pouring water into that strainer and thinking it's going to hold the water. I can't just make a mental note. I'd have to literally write a post-it, because if something's going to happen so far in advance, I'd have to put a note in my suitcase, I think. Wait, how would this work? Because right now, my system for remembering is a post-it note where it's evident on my calendar. I don't know how to do that, because if I don't know what trip's coming next, I do have one in December. I guess I could write myself an email giving myself a list of things to do before I leave. I could do that. Do you ever write yourself emails? I do. I have enough email addresses. I think I have like 5 or 6. I don't know why. But I have enough email addresses that sometimes I just send myself an email to remind myself, cancel this subscription to Paramount Plus or something, like if I only want it for a month or something like that. So I have to do that because I know I'll read my emails. And I was thinking that the trick of putting a note inside my suitcase wouldn't work, because if I don't pack until the last minute, I won't have time to do all the things. But yeah. Have you ever had somebody say to you, remind me to do this? I say that to other people, but when they say that to me, I think, I am not the person to remind you. I'm not going to remember. That's a lot of responsibility. But yeah, that's our lives. And understanding it is so helpful. It is really helpful, at least to me. I hope it is to you too. But thank you so much for being here today, for listening. And yeah, I just appreciate knowing that you are listening to my podcast. I don't think reviews matter as much. I'm not going to ask you for a review, but if you download the episodes, put it on automatic download, that will help more people find my podcast. Every time I get a download, it pushes it up a little bit more. And maybe somebody with ADHD that is searching ADHD, mine might be buried down 100 or something, and I won't show up. Even people who have a podcast that's not about ADHD, but they're really well known and they do one episode, theirs would show up higher. So that might help me find more people, or more people find me, which in turn will give us a community, because that's my dream. I think I've told you that before, is building this community, offering some group experiences that we have, group courses that we could take together, live sessions, or even just being in touch in other ways. I'm keeping in mind with everything that I plan out that it has to be done in a way that would work with somebody with ADHD, which can be tricky, but it is possible. And the socialization that we could get, the community, the validation, could be the reward that keeps us working together. So that's what I'm hoping for. But as I said before, thanks so much. And then I went on how many tangents, but thank you so much for being here. Go to my website if you haven't already. I might change it here and there because I have that perfectionism that I'm working on, but it's renee-allen.com. I think the ADHD quiz is finally working. I'm going to make some other ones that are more playful, but this is to help people see if they have ADHD, if they're curious, but also just see where it impacts you more greatly. It was tricky making it, and it's still tricky getting it to not have glitches, but I think it's working now. So try it out. Let me know what you think. Feel free to give me feedback on that. But thanks so much for being here. Bye. Open windows, broken shadows. Frozen dreams are left for tomorrow. Without no time for a pause. Silence of sound has yet been found, but not by me.